This is the LZR Project, an episodic story series by David N. Alderman. The LZR Project takes place within David's Expired Reality universe and serves as a prequel to the main novels in his Expired Reality series. You can find out more about David's Expired Reality series at davidnalderman.com. Episode number 6, Tuesday, April 13th, 1998. Ridley Grant rolled the blueprints across the hood of the SUV. After examining them, she pointed to the diagram of a circular room nestled in the middle of four other rooms. Alarod will be in that room there, surrounded by the server rooms. David pulled tight the straps of his bulletproof vest and made sure his pulse pistol was set to stun. "You're sure?" Ridley nodded. The tactical unit had set up across the street from the four-story office building where Alarod Sandusky, an Eris self-proclaimed hacker, had his base of operations. The darkness of the early morning hours gave David and his group the cover they needed to approach the building without being seen. Sean approached the front of the vehicle, peering at the blueprints while he strapped on his own bulletproof vest. "He's a hacker. Shouldn't be much to this. Run in, threaten him a bit, and walk out with him in custody." David couldn't blame Sean for his ignorance regarding this mission. Logically, it should be easy to take down a hacker with a few guns and some muscle. But Alarod was no ordinary hacker. Nobody in the police force, or in the Inera government as a whole, had been able to put hands on Alarod in the 5 years he had been hacking into Inera's most secure systems. The man was proficient in transferring credits, forging identities, and inserting computer viruses that had on more than one occasion crippled the government. "He's the best," David answered simply. Veronica came around from the back of the vehicle, adjusting her bulletproof vest. "He's going to have his own private security team." "How do you know that?" Sean asked. "Because it's what I would do," she answered. David half expected Carrie to peer out from behind the SUV, nearly forgetting she was at home recovering from her run-in with Mr. Big. "At least I have Sean," he thought, "and he's actually behaving himself after the chat we all had with him after the Scarlet Rogue incident." Ridley glanced toward the building across the street. "Our best bet would be to come at the building from all angles, front, sides, and back. Swarm the building, head toward that annex, and meet where Alarod is stationed. My contact will sever Alarod's computer access, but only for a short time," David explained. "During that window of time, we have to make sure we get our hands on Alarod before he can initiate a data wipe or some other security measure we don't already know about." "Sorry if I seem somewhat clueless about our purpose here," Sean said. "But why are we focusing our efforts on this guy? What does he have to do with Mr. Big? It sounds more like we're just cleaning up the streets of the lowlifes the government is too lazy to capture themselves." "This hacker once accessed Mr. Big's network," Ridley replied. "It was a temporary intrusion, but during the 3-minute window he had himself inserted in Big's data pool, he managed to steal a ton of files related to Big and his associates, and he even sabotaged some of Big's network. If we can capture Alarod and his systems, we can access those files and maybe even turn Alarod to our side, and cripple Big's network for good." "All right, everyone ready?" David asked. "Everyone have their comm units in their ears?" He approached the sheet of blueprints and pointed out the various entrances to the building. "Veronica, you take the back, Sean and Ridley the sides, I'll go in through the front." Ridley nodded and rolled up the blueprints before placing them in the back of the SUV. The four of them crossed the street and spread out around the parking lot. David pulled out his cell phone and dialed the number of his contact. Once Squirrel picked up, David left him on the line and patched in his other teammates. "I'm at the East Employee Exit," Ridley whispered, her voice coming through David's comm unit. A few moments later, Sean chimed in with his position at the West Emergency Exit. "I'm at the back," Veronica whispered. "The door looks like it's been tampered with. It looks open, but I don't want to pull it open further because I see contact magnets around the frame." "Don't touch that door," Ridley warned. "We need to be careful. It seems someone might have beat us here." David reached the front of the building and peered out on the parking lot to see if he could spot anyone or anything suspicious. "I'm coming back to the front," Veronica whispered. "I spotted very thin wires being strung from the magnets into the building. I think Alarod has set up his own unique security system." "How did he know we were coming?" Sean asked. "He doesn't," David replied. "He's just naturally paranoid. It's how he's stayed out of everyone's grasp for the last 5 years. Veronica, stay where you're at in case he tries to exit out of the building through that door." David turned toward the building entrance and found an alphanumeric keypad to the right of the glass doors. Printouts covered the glass doors, advising the employees who worked in the office building of the work that was to take place next week to expand the parking lot and eventually begin construction on an addition to the east wing. "All right, Squirrel, I'm at the front of the building." "I'm working on it now," Squirrel replied. A few seconds later, the keypad buzzed and the front doors clicked open. "Thanks." David grabbed the handle and started to pull one of the doors open when he heard shuffling behind him. He spun around, his boomerang already out of his back pocket and snug in his right hand. He halted when he realized it was Veronica. "What are you doing? I told you to stay." A loud crack blasted into his left ear as glass spread across the left side of his face. He fell to the ground as another blast took out the keypad in an explosion of sparks and chunks of hard plastic. Ridley's voice came through the ringing in his ear. "David, are you all right? What was that?" He lifted his face, spitting the glass off his lips. He found Veronica in an unusual position, sitting up in front of him as if she were shielding him from another potential shot. She looked down at him, her face peering through her long black hair. "You okay?" she asked in a low voice. "Yeah," he replied. He sat up and attempted to brush some of the glass from the side of his face. Small shards fell to the ground, but some had been buried underneath his skin, nibbling at his nerves with painful little pulses. After looking at the blown-out window and the destroyed keypad, he felt fortunate he was even alive. Ridley and Sean arrived. Ridley had her gun drawn and was peering out across the parking lot. "Looks like we have a sniper somewhere." Veronica helped David to his feet, brushing the glass from his vest as she did so. "We should get that glass out of your face." David retrieved his boomerang and shoved it into his back pocket as he turned toward the front doors. "Later. We go in and get our hands on Alarod. If that sniper knows we're here, so does he." David stepped into the lobby and marched down the hallway to his right. "I found video surveillance of your sniper," Squirrel said. "After his failed attempt to take you out, he fled through the parking lot of a nearby convenience store. Tall guy, had yellow hair. My database isn't finding anything on him, though, which is unusual." "Thanks, Squirrel. Go ahead and sever Alarod's network connection. I'm getting close." "Done. You have a 3-minute window before he takes control back from me. Make it count." "I will." David halted in front of one of the offices lining the hallway. The name on the wooden tag outside the door read, "Arnold Stanton, Chief Computer Consultant." Veronica came up behind him, Ridley and Sean in her wake. David pulled the pulse pistol from his holster and slowly opened the office door. A nest of vacant cubicles met them inside, which David and Veronica navigated carefully around. When they neared the center of the office space, David hid behind one of the cubicle walls and motioned for Veronica to stay down. She knelt behind the wall as he counted to 3 under his breath and then swung around the corner, pointing his pulse pistol at a man sitting in a black office chair with his back to David. "Hands up, Alarod." The man put his hands up in the air. "You're supposed to say, 'Checkmate, David. Don't you know how chess is played? Turn around. Slowly." Alarod used his feet to turn the chair around. When he came face to face with David, David found himself surprised at how young Alarod looked. With his short, bleached blonde hair and the gunmetal loop in his left ear, he nearly had David believing he was a 20-something, even though David knew he was at least in his mid-30s. Alarod grinned. "You have a little glass in your face there, young hero. I see you survived the sniper attack. Achievement well earned. Get on the floor." "Now wait a minute," he protested. "We're both men, aren't we? Not animals, not even computers. Why would you treat me that way? Make me get on the floor and dirty up my new business suit." David put his hand up. Veronica came out from behind the corner, her pulse pistol aimed at Alarod. "Ah, and you brought the lovely Veronica Amaru with you this evening. I take it you two are not on a date, right?" "I need everything you've got on Mr. Big," David growled. "Now." Alarod waved his hands toward the computer behind him. Only blackness filled the screen. "Well, my computer started acting up just a few moments ago." "No joke. I know, it seems highly coincidental, but it's not. I was hacked, and by a really talented hacker, no less." "I'm restoring his computer access now, David," Squirrel said. The computer screen suddenly flashed on, revealing a multitude of open text documents and building blueprints. Alarod glanced at his computer screen. "Whoa, what do you know? Look at that, David. You must have control over the universe or something. What are the odds of that?" David reached into his pocket and pulled out a small jump drive. He tossed it to the man, who pretended to fumble it in midair before finally catching it. "Plug it into the computer and download what you have on Big," David said. "Well, He scratched his chin and tapped the jump drive against his knee. "I don't know. See, that's information. And nowadays, information isn't free. Not valuable information. I mean, you can find funny facts about cats. Like, did you know that a group of cats is called a clowder? Not chowder, but clowder. Crazy, I know. But the information you want, well, that costs credits. Lots of credits. You're going to give us what we want, or what? He put his hands out in front of David. You're going to arrest me? I'll get out. We both know you won't kill me. You don't kill anything except the mood in the room. Ridley and Sean arrived in the cubicle area. The man's gaze went to them for a moment and then returned to David. Four of you to take down a single nerd. Overkill much? David moved his pulse pistol closer to the man's head. Give us what we need or you're going to be drinking out of a straw for the next few weeks. A pulse that close to my skull would kill me, David, even on stun. You really should research the weapons you are using. I'll make you four a deal. I'll give you what you want on big if you give me a clear path out of here. Ridley shook her head. We've been waiting to get our hands on you for a long time, pal. There's no way we're letting you go. You don't understand. That sniper wasn't working for me. He wasn't even working for Mr. Big. If he sees you carting me out of here on a silver platter, he'll take me out, possibly the four of you with me. I want protection. You give me an escape route, a safe one, and I'll cooperate. You're going to cooperate regardless, David said. Download the information on the jump drive. Ridley will call in backup and you'll be safely escorted to a holding cell. No. Safe route, escape, or you don't get the information you want. That sniper only missed you because Veronica here shifted you out of his sights. Sean moved past David and grabbed the man by the front of his shirt. We don't have time for this. Give us that information or we'll blow a hole the size of South Reichardt into your head. He shoved the man into the workstation before Ridley intervened and pulled him back. Squirrel's voice came in through David's earpiece. David, your sniper is back. I just caught sight of him in the convenience store cameras heading in your direction. Alarod straightened himself out and then let out a little chuckle. Seems you're having internal issues, huh, David? You have your explosive friend over there who... David slid his pulse pistol into its holster and then turned Alarod to face the computer screen. He bent Alarod's arms back and slammed the man's face into the keyboard. Listen, hacker, you're going to download the information you have on Mr. Big, and you're going to do it right now. We don't have all night to sit and let you screw us over, got it? Download the information. He slammed Alarod's face into the keyboard again as a man let out a muffled groan. When David pulled Alarod's head up off the desk, the man's nose was bleeding. Veronica pointed her pistol at a spot between Alarod's eyes. Now! David let go of Alarod's arm as a man grunted and then shoved the jump drive into the computer's USB port and began typing on the keyboard at lightning speed. David watched the computer monitor as windows opened and closed. Text and numbers flashed across the screen, and the small red light on the jump drive flashed rapidly, indicating information was being written to the drive. With a final tap of the escape key, Alarod retrieved the drive from the USB port and handed it to David, who shoved it into his pocket. Done. Thank you, David replied. Now, the far window behind David shattered and Alarod's neck exploded, splattering blood across the workstation. His body dropped to the floor as David and Veronica scrambled underneath the workstation, and Ridley and Sean took cover behind the cubicle wall. Ridley pulled her cell phone out as another shot hit one of the fluorescent lights, sending tiny shards of glass down on the workstation. I need backup at the Gene building, Ridley said into her phone. We have a shooter outside the building. Our target is down. They aren't going to get here in time, Veronica shouted. Another bullet took out the second set of lights above the workstation, leaving them in darkness. Squirrel, we're in a bit of trouble here, David said. Is there anything you can do to help us? I'm working on it. When Alarod transferred the data to your jump drive, he simultaneously activated a virus on his servers. They'll be toast in a matter of minutes. The back door, David said. The magnets and the wires. Do you think you can activate the trap he set up? He rigged that back door with explosives to cover his escape, Squirrel replied. Exactly. Give me the cue, Squirrel said, and I'll trip that door. Keep in mind, I have no idea how much power he packed into the trap. David took Veronica's hand in his and crawled carefully across the broken glass to reach Ridley and Sean. Come on, we're getting out of here. What if there are more snipers? Sean asked. There could be one positioned out front to kill us once we walk out those doors. Ridley, I need you to head to the west exit, David said. When I tell you to, open the emergency door. It should trigger the alarm. You run to the front of the building and catch up with us, and we'll all escape while Squirrel sets off the explosives in the rear. The four of them kept low to the ground and escaped the cubicle area. When they reached the main hallway, Ridley headed toward the west exit while David, Veronica, and Sean made their way to the front lobby. I'm here, Ridley said. Do it, David replied. Seconds later, the alarm from the emergency exit echoed throughout the building. As soon as David could see Ridley making her way down the hallway toward them, he gave Squirrel the signal. A loud explosion rocked the structure as David led his team out the front doors of the building. They ran through the parking lot toward the SUV across the street as the building burst into a cloud of flames and smoke. David half expected to feel the heat of a bullet score the side of his face. "Alarod's dead," Ridley said when they returned to the vehicle. "We could have used him on our side." "We got what we came for," David replied, clutching the jump drive. "I don't like that he died, but we got what we came for." Thank you for listening to the LZR Project. If you are interested in reading more of David's Expired Reality series, please check out the author's webpage at davidnalderman.com.